Okay, welcome back. So, continuing on to awakening introductions. So the last episode, 10 minutes ago, we talked a little bit about some very basic and watered down, simplified symptoms of awakening. There can also be, aside from the physical, mental, spiritual, emotional, there can also be external changes in your environment. You can, look, I'm sick and tired of the word manifestation because it's been so incredibly misused and overused. But I don't know how else to actually describe happenings that you can will to happen. So let's just use that word, right? Manifestations can happen, and this doesn't necessarily have to mean conjuring things up from thin air, but it can, and it can mean making the complete impossible happen, you order something from overseas that is set to arrive in 2 months, but you will it to arrive in 2 days. Things like that. And let's not make awakening and spirituality into these mysterious, supernatural sort of phenomenon. These are all very, very natural and normal phenomenon that we just have forgotten, long forgotten, long, long forgotten, and also that we've been conditioned by societal norms to believe are abnormal and just, completely supernatural. It's not. It's all normal. It's a part of nature. You are a part of nature. This universe is a part of nature. The earth is a part of nature. All the things that we don't understand yet are a part of nature. And these are very, very normal phenomena that happens. So the very, very important thing that I was going to say in the last episode, short episode, is that with awakening, you need to understand that this word has also been misused and overused to mean a whole bunch of things. And so, one sure way to check on the validity and reliability. Okay, let's, I hate statistics, but let's just use those two words from stats and nothing else. So reliability, validity of someone's experience with an actual awakening can have several characteristics. Number one, if you're I'm hoping that whoever's listening to this, I don't need to explain what yoga actually is. But here it is anyway, so hopefully it's not boring for those of you who already know what it is. So yoga is a something something thousands of years old system, a very practical step-by-step system towards the awakening of the soul within the shell of the physical body. Okay? So that's all that it is. It's not stretching exercises. It's not about yoga pants. It's not about Lululemon and looking a certain way. It's not about getting your heart rate up. It's just not about any of those things. Yoga, is I mean, should be and is a system towards spiritual awakening of the soul within the physical body. And what does that mean? That means that yoga uses a bunch of things, a bunch of methods, just like in science, very scientific methods, that's been passed down from, if you want to use the word God, universal force, the source energy, you know, Akashic record, you know, whatever word you want to use for a higher being is passed down from higher beings. And when I say higher beings, I mean beings who are more evolved than us, more evolved emotionally in their conscious state of being and in their way of life, in their emotional state, and more evolved in the way that they treat others, more evolved in, you know, various different ways. So it's passed down from these higher, highly evolved beings to very dedicated practitioners of yoga, to their students, and passed down through the ages. Now, the physical yoga didn't actually come until much later. But yoga, the point of the entire point of yoga is for enlightenment. Okay, so enlightenment means don't think about gurus and things like that. I mean, guru just means teacher anyway, and no real guru will ever want you to actually call them guru. If you call a, I mean, usually, like, even if you like bow at their feet and stuff, they feel very, I mean, it's not that they feel uncomfortable, but they, you know, they don't see themselves as, they have no ego. A true guru has no ego, and they don't have any use for formalities. They don't have any use for you to worship them in any way. They have no ego. They are selfless. They are completely and utterly selfless. Enlightened beings have no egoic sense of, you know, I'm so great. So maybe I'll do another episode on that alone. Oh my God, there's so many. There's probably a lot of material here to, like, for the next, I don't know how long. So I'm just gonna, yeah, say what comes. Anyway, so back to awakening symptoms and things. So how do you know when somebody's had a real spiritual awakening experience? Well, you can check against yogic scripture. Now, yes, there has been commentary on yogic scripture, but the actual scriptural, the scripture itself has been, I hope I'm not going to get shot for saying this, but it has been largely and mainly sort of untouched because it was originally written in, well, actually, I don't know what it's originally written by. But as far as we have recorded, it's been written in Sanskrit, an ancient Indian language that is still used today. Maybe in different ways, but it's actually still used today, Sanskrit. And I think, you know, people in India speak Sanskrit and Hindi and English and everything. But they speak Sanskrit in the current modern times. So that means that a lot of the, so the scriptures of yoga, namely, you know, the Bhagavad Gita, stuff like that, Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, I mean, that came later, but more about that later. Scriptural testimony is one of the ways that you can check if someone has had a true awakening experience. Why is this? This is because they are tried and true methods in the scripture that has been proven by saints, sages, living saints and sages who's been yogic teachers and gurus. Guru, again, just means teacher and nothing else, really. It actually just means that, you know, if they've followed these principles and they've recorded their experiences and they can match that experience with another enlightened being, another sage, saint, guru, teacher of yoga practices, and they have all the same experiences isolated from each other, and they, you know, have the same results using the same methods, then it's a tried and true result, right? So exactly like science. In science, you know, you use your methods, you use your measuring tools, you use, you know, you come up with the results, you know, you put all the data into the computer and what have you. You know, you write a conclusion about, oh, you know, what's happening in this study and this experiment that we did. And so if somebody says, well, you know, I've had a spiritual awakening experience and I know that the entire world is a prison from hell, well, does it say that in scripture? And I mean, I can tell you now it doesn't. So if you can't check it against the experience of a lived and true yogic master slash sage saint teacher, it might be a little iffy, right? Might not be necessarily a spiritual experience, okay? So I'm not trying to discount people's experiences, but we need to – look, somebody's got to say it, okay? If you're going to shoot me, shoot me. I mean, don't shoot me. That might not be good because that's not good karma for you, and I have to come back again. So it's just trouble for everybody. So check against scripture. That's the first thing. And number two, there are a few very, very key principles with an actual awakening experience. So there are parts to an awakening experience. There are parts to an awakening experience. So what does this mean? There is a pre-awakening part. There is a duration, and there is a it's not an end, but at some point, people who's had a true awakening will come to nearly exactly identical results. So exactly like what I was saying with the scientific studies, you know, you replicate your experiment a few times, and you know, you know that it has validity and it has reliability. and so the pre-awakening part of the whole awakening experience can be very, very traumatic. It can be from turmoil, it can be all over the shop, and it can just be a complete, I'm going to swear, so if you have kids in the room, you know, you could just pause this. it can be a complete head fuck, okay, especially for people who have spontaneous awakenings and not awakenings due to the consistent and regular practice of spiritual practices like yoga. And again, yoga doesn't mean physical stretches. I'll talk way more about yoga in one episode. But so far we're just in the intro. And so in the pre-awakening experience, the person may have gone through some sort of life-altering traumatic experience. Their body is changing, their energetic body is changing. They don't know what's happening, especially if they've had a spontaneous one, you know, without any any knowledge of spiritual stuff, and they've never been into spiritual stuff in the past, let's just say. So it can be a shock to the system. It can be very disorienting. It can just be, they can think that they're losing their mind. So that can be one aspect of the spiritual awakening. On the other hand, if the person has consistently and regularly practiced yoga, for a long time without break and in all earnestness, those of you who know scripture will know which part of scripture this is from. Those people will absolutely not have, well, I'm not saying absolutely, but they might not have, they will not have as disorienting and traumatic an experience with the pre-awakening, part of this equation. You still go through a lot of suffering. You still go through a lot of, inner work, a lot of spiritual searching, soul searching, you know, like dark night of the soul, that kind of thing. It's still a very difficult phase of the awakening process. So think of it as, you know, the classic example of having a bucket full of mud on the bottom and water in water and mud in the bucket, right? And if you stirred up the bucket, then you get a lot of muddy water. You can't see clearly. You can't, you know. So that's the stirring up stage. Let's think of it as the stirring up stage. And once they get past this stirring up stage, and once the mud settles or gets filtered out, then you get clear water, right? So for those who are not great with analogies and take things literally, this just means that the muddy water represents turmoil and suffering, and clear water represents clarity and calm. Let's just put it that way. So then you have a middle bit. So the process of awakening, and then you start to realize things. You may have heard of this matrix sort of theory. It's more of a comparing to the matrix, and there are concepts in that theory that make sense. There are other concepts in that theory that can be very misleading. So let's just say that the middle bit of the awakening process is that the person starts realizing all this stuff. Like they can realize, for example, that they've been learning from school that certain political figures in history have done this, and it's a good thing. And then they've researched, and once they've had the initiation into the awakening starts, and they realize that this may not be the case. They go and research a little bit themselves and find out a whole bunch of information that makes them realize that, oh, you know, what I've been conditioned or taught in my whole life may not actually be true. So that's what a lot of people refer to as things not being real, right? So there are other levels of this, but that's the very basic level, information. So, and let's just fast forward this a little bit because I don't want it to be too confusing or too dragged out. And by the way, tell me if it's, I don't know, give me some feedback if it's boring. Just actually don't give me feedback. I don't I don't know if I'll have time to read them. I mean, you can, you know, it's free speech and all. I mean, free speech, but be nice, you know. Okay, so then you come to the middle bit where the person has a bunch of realizations, and the person can start to make shifts in their belief systems and their value systems. Let's just put it that way. And then we get to the actual part of the awakening, and that is the real part of the awakening. So when you awaken to something, that means that you're awake, your eyes are open, everything's open, you can see, you can hear, you are conscious, right? So before the actual awakening, I don't know what to call it yet, but you know, it's when you wake up. It's with, you know, before that, the pre-awakening and the middle bit, those are not the awakening experience, okay? Those are just, they are important parts of the awakening process, but they are not the actual, the waking up itself, right? So a lot of people get this part confused. So they may actually go through the pre-awakening stage for years, especially if they don't have a proper, tried and true, passed down from good lineage method to practice their spirituality. It will be an utterly confusing and very traumatic world in the pre-awakening stage, okay? So that can last for years, and it can drag on for even more if the person doesn't actually find a way to use the proper methods, let's just say, to use the proper methods. More on that later. You'll probably hear me say that a lot. And so the actual, the waking up part is blissful. It is beautiful. It is incredible. It is everything that you could ever imagine about being at your absolute best, happiest, most blissful self, but times it by a million. Okay, so all this, you see a lot of misinformation out there that says, oh, you know, awakening is not about being blissful. It's not about being loving. It's not about being all this stuff. It's actually about suffering. It's actually about shadow work. It's actually about, it is about that, but that's actually the pre-awakening stage, right? So the, once you've actually woken up, though, I don't like that word woke, because it's, oh God, we have such a way of you misusing words. So when you are awake, suddenly your psychic abilities will come up. Everything's open. The portals are open. You can literally see the veil. You can see beyond the veil. You can see this side of the veil, on the earth side. You can see the veil itself, and you can see the other side of the veil. I mean, not everybody has a, you know, exactly the same aspects. They don't experience the same aspects, but like I said before, there are some very key qualities to the actual awakening that is unmistakable and the same. Okay, and that's a sure sign of a true awakening, and also if it aligns with, you know, what previous saints and sages have experienced themselves as well, and enlightened beings. So I'll just very quickly talk you through the actual, some of the things that can happen when you wake up. So you can tap into what some call the Akashic records. Akash is a Sanskrit word. So the Akashic records just refers to basically the free-flowing, endless and infinite information about anything and everything of all times, as in all times, as in the past, present, and future, there ever has and will exist ever. So it's kind of like this library of just floating information in the air that you can't see it with your naked eye. This can be very dangerous for people who do not have a proper spiritual practice, because the information can enter into their energetic fields and they could just be completely bombarded by, you know, can you imagine our puny little human minds, right? You know, I mean, have a look at how small the Earth is comparing to the rest of the galaxy even. Let's not even say the universe, but the rest of our galaxy. You know, if you kind of zoomed out and you look at us, we're not like smaller than a speck of dust. And so our brains and our minds can, it's very difficult to handle that amount of information, an infinite amount of information about all of the multiverses at all times, of everything that ever existed from the beginning of the time to an infinite amount of futures. You know, our minds are just, it's not meant to handle everything, and depends on the person's personality, their own, we're talking about the pre-awakening stage now, their own, you know, you can call, let's just call it shadow work and all that, their own previous unresolved issues and stuff like that, depending on all of that, they will actually take in whatever information that gets attracted to them. So if that means that they've had a very troubled past, but they haven't really dealt with it, they haven't really worked through a lot of stuff, they haven't really made peace with some of the things, but they also don't have a proper spiritual experience, a spiritual practice. Remember, you know, we need to approach this in a practical, scientific way as well, because it's, you know, we need to some sort of validity and reliability in what we do. And, you know, it's just not just free for all. It really isn't. There is a right way and a wrong way to do this. The wrong way can cause a lot of suffering. So all this information can just bombard the person. They can chase the information left, right, and center. One minute it's governmental something. The next minute it's something about ancient history that they've discovered, and they just go down endless rabbit holes. And that's not good, because it strays you from the path of the actual waking up part. Let's just put it that way. I might touch back on this in more detail later. So the actual awakening part, or the actual waking up part, is the blissful part. It is if you've listened to, for example, it can be quite rare for yogis and enlightened beings and sages and saints to record their everyday thoughts and things. Yogananda is a good example of what he's experienced. If you listen to some of the things that he's experienced, I don't want to give spoilers, but they are there are some universal experiences once you wake up that is undoubtedly tried and true symptoms of awakening. Okay. So one of these being a state of bliss. If you've never experienced even half a second of this type of spiritual bliss through the proper spiritual practices, you are not going to know what I'm talking about. And that is totally okay. All right, but just imagine your most happy and ecstatic state of mind or state of consciousness that you've ever had in your life, and times that by a billion. And then times that by a billion. The blissful state of mind isn't just of the mind. It's of the consciousness. It's bliss of the emotional self. It's the bliss of the physical self. You can feel the blissful state inside of your body, especially in the heart chakra, in your sternum. Other people can feel it different places, you know. But it is a state of bliss. Unfortunately, we don't really have more words to describe the indescribable, so we have to use some words to describe this experience. So that's all we got at the moment, you know. So it's a state of bliss, okay? The state of bliss can bring you to your knees. This state of bliss can make you cry uncontrollably from pure ecstasy. It can feel like an orgasm times a billion in the center of your heart. It can erase every single hurt and suffering and pain that you've ever experienced in your entire existence, in the entire existence of your soul. It's that powerful. It is from God. It's from the universal force. It's from the source energy. And so to be awake, you need to be asleep. And to be asleep, you need to exist. And think of it this way. We already existed before we awakened. We were just sleeping, right? So it's actually returning to a state that we were meant to experience. That's really all that it is. There's nothing supernatural about it. It's what's really normal. Where our current state of existence is at a like below normal. I mean, that's not a good way to describe it. It's not a full experience for the human soul. So that's the first part, the bliss. And if you're listening to this and you're quite advanced into your experience, you'll know that I'm probably going to say, but the spiritual experience of bliss is also, according to scripture, a distraction from returning to source energy. So even that blissful state you can call it an illusion, you can call it a distraction, but whatever it is, the psychic abilities, the blissful state, everything that makes you want it more can take you away from God. It can take you away from the universal force. It can take you away from source. You end up spending the rest of your life chasing that bliss state, which is not what you want. What you want is to return to source energy, to God. So other things that can happen once you've woken up can be what we call supernatural abilities, like healing other people, like healing your pets who might have a terminal illness, you know, abilities that you've never had before, like you can suddenly read a different language, you know, you jump on electronic devices because, you know, we all have electromagnetic fields in our bodies to align with other electromagnetic fields, even if they are what we think inanimate objects. Let's just say electronic devices are very sensitive and easily manipulated. I'm sure you know what I mean by manipulate, like as in manipulating a thing or changing structure or something, and not the you know, word to describe someone who's manipulating someone. So electronic devices might respond to you. You could jump on and just your energetic field, your electromagnetic energetic field can influence electronic devices. Now, whether that be an interruption to the actual frequency of radios, mobile phones, or things that can actually happen is things of the Akashic records or the great big information library can just come through into your electromagnetic field through your devices. So what I mean by that is you could possibly just get on your phone, could be touching your phone, you could be speaking into your phone, and suddenly you get the information that you were thinking through your phone. That's not just the algorithms of the AI technology that we currently have. It can be, you know, beyond that without you actually typing in anything. You can type in something into your computer and a bunch of results will come that nobody else can find by typing in the same search results. Excuse me. Things like that. You know, you could, you know, like microwaves will stop working, clocks can turn back, you know, things like that with electronic devices. Again, let's not make these such a catastrophically Hollywood-fied experience, okay? These are very normal experiences. We're just returning to a state that's just normal for humans. It's just that we've lived without our other abilities for so long that we think it's some sort of magic. And it's not. It's very normal. So on that note, I'm getting tired. I don't know how. I'm sure I'll build up my podcast speaking. Resistance and talk for a bit more next time. But so that's kind of in a nutshell. You have the pre-awakening experience. You have the duration where, you know, you use a bunch of methods to try to help you be steered towards the actual state of waking up itself. And then once you've woken up, it actually is rainbows and lollipops. I'm sorry to all the people who are like, you know, preaching that it's all suffering and, that it's really hard and it's, you know, they're talking about the pre-awakening experience. But when you actually wake up, it's sunshine and lollipops and rainbows and unicorns. It is just that you'd be running around your own backyard laughing and crying because you're in so much bliss, and so much healing and, I might kind of come and pick this up another time and talk more about scripture and go into detail perhaps of each and every one of the themes that I've talked about and more. There's a lot more. I'm very, very technologically unsavvy. So, I don't really know how many people this is going to reach, really. But, you know, if you actually hear it, I hope that you know that that's not by coincidence. And, you might just need somebody else who's talking about it. You might just need some information, maybe just normalize some of the experience you've had instead of just like, oh, my God, what on earth is happening here? And, okay, until next time, whenever that will be, I hope that you look after yourself. Bye!